Hello and welcome to the Leading Chaos Podcast. I am Rhea Windcaller, your host of this weekly podcast where we take chaos head on and make it manageable. Chaos is disorder, confusion, and at its worst, pandemonium. No matter who you are, where you are, or what you do, chaos will appear when you least expect it. So let's get started. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are. We have the show for you today. I'm really excited to share an interview I had with Justin Corby of Stone Man Brewing. That is in Coleraine, Massachusetts. And Justin gave me a tour of his brewery, which we will begin today's episode with, and then move into his interview. And an app to share that I do know you will find useful if you are interested in craft beer. And what is craft beer? Craft beer is a little bit different than mass-produced beer in that it has no adjuncts, typically. And adjuncts would be adding sugar. And there's very strict rules on brewing beer. And we'll maybe hold that for another episode. Suffice to say that a brewer, like any startup business, has to deal with quite a bit of chaos. And that's what we look at in today's episode. And that is a personal interest of mine as a businesswoman. And also craft beer is an interest of mine. I've been writing about it since 2003. I write for Brewing News, and I am the Western Mass columnist, Western Massachusetts columnist for Yankee Brew News. I've been doing that since 2003. Can you believe it? Woo, time flies. And it's a really great, fun opportunity for me to promote the area that I live in and all the amazing local foods and also local beer. And this particular region, we have a nice marriage between the farmers and the brewers. So Justin will be mentioning a particular place, Valley Malt, and that's a small malting company where they harvest the local grains, and they are, well, they don't actually harvest it necessarily, but they turn it into malt for the beer making. So I live in an amazing region, have been writing about craft beer for a while, and this probably will not be the last episode on craft beer. We begin this journey at his site where he is brewing beer. Let's go. Okay, I'm in the Stone Man Brewery kettle room and washroom and everything. Justin, this is amazing since I was last here. Look at the system that you set up.
I think it was just a shed when you came in.
I know, and the walls are all looking, you know, sparkling and...
And washable.
And washable, the stainless steel. This is the size room. What would you say that it is?
Well, the whole brewery itself is a little less than 360 square feet. But that includes the storage rooms and the shipping container.
And this is your, like, little refrigeration room with some of your...
We have a small fermentation room where some fermenters on wheels can bring them in and out. And we also have a bourbon barrel that we do a couple projects with.
Oh, what size barrel is that?
23-gallon barrel.
Okay, great. So when I'm looking in a room with all these, like, stainless steel. They're, like, conical at the bottom. And I have a nice little... Smelling some nice beer smells, which I particularly like.
Nice.
Wow, that's a big change over there.
Yeah, we actually just did dry hopping. That's what this. There's a bag of fresh hops in there. We're going to bottle it on Sunday, so we do.
It's the first time I've done the dry hopping. We add basically a bag of hops to it and let it sit for a little while.
And what kind of hops are you using?
That one is Citra. So this is the one barrel brewery. So we basically make about 30 gallons of beer at a time. And we can do, a lot of times we do back-to-back brewing, so that we're able to produce two barrels in a day. So it's about like a 12 to 14 hour day if nothing goes wrong. So it's essentially a lot of time that we put into making a small amount of beer. But for this size, I mean, that's kind of the point of what we're doing, is kind of having a small farm brewery and trying to make, you know, a smaller amount of high-quality ingredients. So it's basically a system that we designed. My dad's a retired engineer, and he helped. Actually, my mom and dad actually pretty much did almost 90% of the work inside this room.
Wow.
The washable walls and putting everything together. But my dad and I designed it all and then put it all together. It's basically one barrel breweries don't really exist very much. I mean, there's not a lot of equipment for a one barrel brewery. So you kind of have to fabricate it and use your imagination to put it together.
So when you say one barrel, how much beer, like how many pint glasses comes out of a batch that you make?
That's a good question. I get about 15 cases. Each case
is like a 22-ounce bottle of beer. So 15
like 12
cases.
12 of those.
Yeah.
So it's a good question.
We'll let the listeners figure that out. And,
it's not a whole lot, though.
If you figure that out, you could send that to growbeer.com.
Foot stainless steel huge sink and a table, and my parents found that in the Adirondacks for free. It was during a white metal day where they have all these Adirondack camps and they have a day that you can bring your metal and they just take it for free. And so my mom saw this sitting there and they strapped it to the top of their caravan.
Was this actually for free?
For free, yeah. I mean, it's $1,000 or $800 worth of stainless steel.
Yeah.
But we got that for cheap, so.
I wouldn't mind having that in my kitchen. It's beautiful.
Yeah, more stainless steel, the better.
When do they do that out in the Adirondacks?
We go up there. Yeah,
let's keep that offline. Right about now, Justin and I realized it was good to move indoors and begin the next phase of our interview process. By the way, beer smells would be something like malt, nice and malty. Could be even caramely. It could be a nice background of hops. So that's so much for saying, oh, it smells like beer smells, but it's a really amazing smell. Here we go. As I mentioned earlier, Justin is the owner and head brewer at Stone Man's Brewery out in the beautiful hills of Coleraine, and I had a great tour today around the brewery. I imagine starting a new endeavor that really there wasn't any kind of model must have been quite a step forward. It was, talk about chaos.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the idea is what drove me sometimes to get it finished. I sell a lot of my beer in a CSA form, so people pay ahead of time. So my original thought was, oh, people will pay me all this money ahead of time, I'll build my brewery, because we didn't even have a brewery or a farm to get started when we had this project. Now here we are selling beer legally.
Well, that's an amazing thing. And you started off as a home brewer, right?
Yeah, home brewed for 3-4 years, and I kind of have an obsessive personality, so I kind of dived into it nonstop, so to say.
You started it's a nano brewery, which is a small production brewery, and, you know, you're doing this approach to it where you're selling the beer shares, which is very, very unique. There's not really any other model out there. So you had to rein in this, and you talked a little bit about having that vision. And is that part of what helps you in terms of leading chaos, is this vision? Is that the same thing as a business plan?
I mean, a vision is kind of a good starting point. Like, if you're starting any kind of company, you want to really, like, look ahead. You can kind of imagine yourself, you know, a year from now. The idea that you could actually grow your own grain and then make it into your beer was, to me, pretty awesome. So I just decided that was a big motivation point, was I felt like the stars had aligned and I was in the right place at the right time to do a small little brewery, and a lot of hard work and some ideas, we actually made it happen. But the power of imagination and trying to envision what you want has gotten me pretty far. I guess that's helped.
Again, going back to that thought of a community sustainable agricultural brewery, which is really, really unique. So you have to have a really clear plan to make that be successful. I'm wondering, before this endeavor, before you're being full-time brewer, what did you do beforehand?
I went to art school at 17, so I kind of left the homes, the nest, so to say, at 17. So for about 4 years, I traveled the country pretty much with no money and kind of wandered around. And that was a pretty exciting time, but I learned a lot of lessons. Then I got to a point where I wanted to sort of not settle down, but kind of come back to to work. And so I started doing landscaping and doing stonework throughout the 20s. I started my own company. I worked as a stonemason for about 10 years. And then I finally started on my own, started my own stone company.
Over your experience, and, you know, for a podcast that talks about leading chaos, what was your experience of chaos? Has it changed over the course of doing the nano brewery and doing a startup?
With brewing beer, it really pushed me more on the mental side.
Do you have any particular stories about chaos of the brewery and how you manage that, and a little tip that you could give for listeners?
Yeah, well, it was probably maybe the sixth batch of beer that I made, and I was brewing. It was taking me a long time, like 14, 15 hour days to do a double batch. And on the last batch, this is the middle of winter, and we have this ventilation system. It's a really small 360 square foot brewery, and we have the vents open to allow the air to come in to circulate to exhaust. And so it was really cold, and things are almost freezing up in the brewery. And it's really actually hard to think in that state. But so I was a little out of it. It was maybe 2 in the morning, and I started smelling a smell when I was boiling, actually in the mash tun. I was heating up the mash tun to
And what is a mash tun?
Mash tun is basically a vessel that you you steep the grain in for a while, and then you run it off. But on this specific brewing technique, I actually had to heat up the kettle,
okay,
or the mash tun.
Yeah,
and I started smelling a smell, and it was this kind of burnt smell, and I was a little thought, I was like, oh, maybe it'll be all right, and I put it into the kettle, and I started boiling, and it didn't smell as bad, but I was still, I've seen some strange things in the brewery, I thought it might be all right, and then the next morning, I got up, I cleaned out the mash tun, and it burnt the bottom of this new pot, almost like an inch of char on the bottom of the pot.
Oh dear.
And that was, I had all this other stuff planned to keep brewing, and at that point I had to walk away and take a couple deep breaths, because there was nothing I could do. I was like, all right, I pushed myself further than I should, and sometimes it takes like a tragedy or a mistake to really make me realize that hey, I need to slow down a little bit, or else I'm going to start making $1,000 mistake. And it actually took my wife 8 hours of hand scrubbing with a scotch bed to clean it up. And that wasn't the first time I did that. For the second time, we did it with a drill and a scotch bed. And I did it in 3 hours.
Is it easy for you to step away? Step back?
Oh,
well, is that something that you've kind of trained yourself to do?
Well, at the time that I realized I have to step back, then I know it's like, oh no. It's like, I really, like, it was such an obvious mistake and an obvious calling that it was like, all right, something's different. And I try not to beat myself up. I mean, it makes a good story, burning a pot on this one beer. But for me, it's just the kind of having to accept it. And it's basically just saying, like, okay, there's something that I did. It was all my fault. I guess it's easier since it was my fault sometimes. If it's someone else's fault, you can kind of place the blame on someone else. But when it's your fault, and it's obviously your mistake, I mean, it's easy just to say, all right, you got to learn from your mistakes.
So that's a little bit, would you say, what leading chaos is for you, is to be able to kind of accept that, but also know when to pull back, or how would you say it?
Well, it's kind of like looking at you look at something that's good or bad, and you can have a perception, like even that day that I burned the pot, I mean, that was bad. It was $1,000 mistake, but I was basically actually happy inside because I was really tired. I'd worked, 80 hours in a couple days, and that was a breaking point. And I actually, it was a relief, on the inside. I didn't tell my wife who helped scrape the pot out, but I was like, all right, well, now it's official that I have to like completely stop what I'm doing and, get some sleep and and recharge a little bit.
Right. And that's good advice for anyone who's taking on a new endeavor, is that you got to know when to walk away.
Yeah.
And I imagine for somebody who was a stonemason for the time that you were and was doing something very methodical, very physical, and then to switch gears to the capacity that you did, you're pulling the tools of the physical body of that almost meditative state of stacking and being very persistent, because taking on a project to finish it for 2 years is amazing. But then doing like a simple thing like boiling, what most people would consider to be simple, but for a brewer, not so simple, is it?
There's a lot of steps that go into it.
Yeah.
I guess I looked at things one thing at a time, like a certain problem would arise. I mean, building a brewery, a small brewery in your backyard, basically, was a little bit of a challenge. And I've never been trained as a brewer. I learned everything from books and from home brewing for years and from learning from friends that were brewers. But basically, it was a step at a time. So I have a big list, and I'd write it out, and I'd cross things off the list, but it'd be certain challenges. And so once I reached a certain challenge, and I would try to, you know, when a problem came up, I'd try to really solve it, you know, not just sort of patch it. You know, I'd actually try to be like, to fix the problem for good, and then I can move it out of my head.
Like, can you give me an example, like a problem that would come up that you'd really try to just fix it?
Well, like labeling, because we do small batch labeling, and it costs a lot of money for each label on the bottle. It was costing me almost $1 a label.
Wow.
Because I have about 20 different beers I do, and they're all in small batches. And so I can't order them all at once. And so it was a problem I had, and I was wasting money just doing it that way, but I had all these other problems to fix. And so I knew I could then come to that and fix it eventually. And so after like a month or two, I was really just working out the kinks. Then I said, okay, now I have time and I'll figure out this label problem. And I, you know, had to look into thermal image printing and basically I came up with a new system. So now it's costing me 20 cents
per
label.
Perfect.
And so that was a problem that, I was overwhelmed because I had 30 different problems at once trying to figure out how to do a small amount of beer and still turn it into a profit, which has been quite the challenge. You can't do it all yourself. One way of looking at things, and I could bring it back to doing being a stonemason, instead of building a wall, it was building a temple at the end of the day. So I looked at it, and actually it had this kind of temple-like look to it, which helped, but it was something that meant more.
Bringing in the collective good for all to go on your project, taking it step by step, and having that vision. So, if folks wanted to find out more about the brewery, they would go to growbeer.com. You can see that on our show notes. We'll have a link to that. Wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was Justin Corby of Stoneman Brewery in Coleraine, Massachusetts. If you get a chance to try his beers, you will not be disappointed. He has an amazing palate. And this week's app is called Brew Gene. That is G-E-N-E. There will be a link on our show notes. And for managing the chaos of beer selection, Brew Gene is a pretty cool app to try. It will allow you to log in and provide your own reviews and decide on different styles. Again, Brew Gene. Thank you for tuning in. Please follow this podcast on Twitter at Leading Chaos. And yes, your input, your thoughts, your comments are important to me. Please take a minute and zap me a line on the leadingchaospodcast.com website. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. My friends, always be kind, be safe, and exhale. I look forward to Leading Chaos with you next week.